Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Crispy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Sitting up here in our home in Canada for a few days, just checking things out. It's raining, but we're having coffee great because my old alma mater finally broke it and won the cup last night, the St. Louis Blues.
Well, 69, the 70, 69, 70, 70, 71, 71, 72 seasons you were played for the Blues. And 52 years it took for them to win the cup. What were your emotions last night?
I was happy for them because we'd all been living through, like, how many years, who's the longest team that's been in the league that has not won the cup, so forth. And I still have a lot of friends in St. Louis and a lot of the guys that I know that are involved with that hockey club, Bobby Prager and Al McGinnis and Taylor and a few of the other ones that we've always stayed with, and Bud Holland, a few of them. So watching them on the ice and knowing a little bit of what they were going through was sort of neat. And plus, I remember the final game we played against Boston, the Blue, and in the old building with Bobby Orr flying through the air. And I was looking this morning, but I didn't see any aerial pictures from that game, so it's okay.
You've been there. I mean, you know those game sevens. We had Pete on yesterday. You've never lost a game seven. But afterwards, just the emotion, because think about that. That you've gone your whole life for that moment to hoist the cup. What was that like for you? But not only as a coach, but as a player.
You know what? I don't know what that word surreal is, because everybody uses it on TV and everywhere else, but it sounds like the word to you is surreal. To me, it's just something that it doesn't sink in so fast. Like you're so caught up. You've been on the bench for 60 minutes or whatever. Plus the final buzzer goes and it sinks in that you've done it, but not until the next day or a week later. And Fred Shearer had one of the greatest speeches when we won it one day, the year against Boston. We beat the 1-0. And after the game, he came in the dressing room and we were all, you know, our first cup and just bouncing around. He said, "Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something right now." He says, "Enjoy the moment. Enjoy this night and enjoy the days to come that are going to be hoopla and party time, et cetera." But he said, "You won't realize what you have done as a team with your teammates until about 10 years down the road." And you know what? Those words were never so true and have never sunk in more than when you win one, you think you're going to win them or whatever. And then 10 years down the road, you sit back when you're watching other teams. I'm watching the Blues last night win the cup. And my wife and I, she and I, were sitting there watching, saying, "You know, remember back when we won it and what it was like and the feeling?" And then now it's even more so because you're not going to even have a crack at it. Your career is done. But that's when those moments sink in down the road.
And as a coach, you know, you got to get these guys to buy into what you're selling. They buy into what you're selling, and you lead them to that pinnacle, and that's got to be a whole different flood of emotions.
It is. You know what? It truly is. As a player, it's euphoria for you and what you've done with your teammates. As a coach, I use the word a sense of satisfaction. You stand back and you look at the players congratulating each other, they're hugging, and some are crying, and they're looking for their wives and kids and families to share it with them. But you as a coach, you stand back and say, "You know what? That's a pretty nice scene." You're like a babysitter for all this year. You took the kids, took them to the park, looked after them, made sure things were well, and you're now being rewarded for it. So as a coach, it's more a sense of satisfaction that you did your job and did it pretty darn good.
Terry Criss with us, of course, winning three, you know, cup championships, two as a player and one as a coach, and also part of that St. Louis Blues. And then even back to the very first year, it was 67-68. That was the first year, correct?
Yeah, that was the first year when they came in the league, when they went from six teams, the original six teams in the NHL.
Right.
And they expanded in 1967 to 12 teams, and that's when the Blues came in. And that's when they had the draft. And I was drafted from the Boston Bruins, by the way. I was an original Boston Bruin in my first few years of pro. So then we went to the Blues. And from then on, it was history. But it was super fun back then. We went to the, like, it's history. But three straight years with Scotty Bowman at the wheel of our team, our coach, and I, We went to the Stanley Cup for three straight years, finals, and went 0 for 4, 0 for 4, and 0 for 4, which my grandchildren never fail to make me rub it in. You're 0 for 12, Coach.
Now, Crispy, did you get a day with the Cup?
No, you know what? They owe me 3 days because as a player with Philly and another with Philly and one with the coach, they didn't have it and they didn't do it then, so we were sort of left out in the cold. So I'm still waiting for the phone call from the league to say, Crispy, when would you like to have your days with the Cup?
Well, you're an old blues guy. Just go up there and hang out with them and just, you know, take it for a day. I mean,
I should. I should just imagine jump in a plane, go back, and reminisce with them. I was watching Bobby Pager last night and Al McGinnis and Taylor, the one we know, and thinking that, you know what, for the next 3 or 4 days, those guys are going to have just the time of their life.
Terry Criss with us, former St. Louis Blues, original team there for five seasons, right? With them, with the Blues there, from the start. This year, it doesn't make much sense. On January 2nd, this team is in last place, not the conference, the league, 31 of 31 at the very bottom. They fire their coach in November. They start on December. Their number four goaltender now starts for the first time on January 7th and leads them to the Cup. This is just a crazy story. I mean, there's so many storylines of just what they've done. And you know, it's one thing to win a Cup, but to come from where they did to win it, that makes it even more unique.
It does. You know what? And that whole sentence that you just used is amazing. From it back then, everybody had written off the St. Louis Blues. They're going to have a tough year. They should have been doing better. What was wrong? And then when they brought in Craig Berube, the coach, the nickname the Chief also, that he was – but you know what? From the start, somebody must have known that the makeup of Craig Berube when he played, like he was full steam, full out. He was a tough, hard-nosed hockey player from start to finish. And somebody must have realized that that's the type of team that the Blues had, that they had assembled – and needed maybe a leader, and Craig Berube obviously was the man to lead them down that road. If you talk to all the players and you watch them play, you can just see every shift, every line, every defense pairing out there had the stamp of Craig Berube, their coach, on them. And they played that way the whole time through the playoffs, never let up once, a lot of tough games. And you guys all watched the playoffs. There was four or five teams in the playoffs that were tough, hard-nosed to get through. That was a war. And they won the Cup this year going through battles.
Well, you look at what they've done, you know, the worst to first. We've talked about on all of that. And now the realization you've won the Cup. But now you got the short offseason, Crispy. You've only got a couple of months now as opposed to 4 or 5 months of getting it done. And now you got to come back and re-get all that emotion and that passion. It's tough to repeat. I know the Penguins did it a few years ago. But overall, it's tough to get back to that level year after year like that, to that level to winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and you know what? These guys, when you watch them, and even in their post-game speeches and talks and interviews, they all were solid. And they all said the right things, and a little faux pas with O'Reilly, but he covered that one up as best he could. But these guys knew what their mission was, and I think next year coming back, if they don't make too many majors and the guys stay solid with the team if they can keep most of it together, they'll be tough to beat next year also. But again, I got to tell you, the goaltender, Jordan Binnington. I mean, not to be smart or anything, but who had ever heard of Jordan Binnington before? He came on the scene.
All right.
And suddenly he's the man. And how many times, fellas, have you heard us say that if you're going to win the Stanley Cup on a given year, you have to have the best goaltender at that given time. Maybe not before, maybe not after. And if you watch last night's game for the first period, I'm going to say 11 minutes, 12 minutes, it should have been 3-4-0 for the Boston Bruins. I mean, point blank out scoring chances. Binnington he gave it a Pecorino. He gave a stalwart Pecorino imitation of just holding the fort until his guys got going, until they got their legs under them, got playing the game they're supposed to play. And I'll bet you anything, he was a strong candidate right behind O'Reilly for the Conn Smythe Trophy, which is the MVP at playoffs.
Yeah, it's hard not to give it to O'Reilly. He scored in four straight playoff games, and that hadn't happened since 1985. Some guy named Gretzky did it back then. hey, what about the guy in January? At the time, the St. Louis Blues were 250-1 odds to win the Cup. This is early January, of course, you know, the bottom of the barrel. He bet $400 last night. He's going to cash $100,000 on a $400 bet.
You know what? I read that and I was checking this morning. I think he's my uncle. How many phone calls did he get this morning? Remember?
Oh, Lord, yeah. Well, hey, we're not even going to talk about the Predators, but, well, we will a second, though. There's some interesting decisions to come. Free agency, whatever's going to happen here, because, you know, as David Poile with that exit interview at the end of the season, I don't think he's going to stand pat.
You know what? No, David and Coach Lab and the club, they know what they have to do. They know what they're going to have to do. And David Poile has been through the wars, and he was sort of firm about it. He said that, yes, we have to make changes, and yes, we're going to make changes. So you're right. It will be interesting to see what they do and how they do it. But again, the one thing we do have, and when we start out, we'll have the advantage of, is we have the best fans in hockey. So we're one leg up on everybody else when we start.
Is it good? I know we had just a couple more questions. When you get away from it, you know, to get away from hockey, what's the right amount to get away from hockey for a while and clear your head? Is it a week? Is it a month? Or is it different for everybody else?
No, you never get away from it. You shouldn't ever get away from it. That's what you chose. That's what you want to do. I love talking. Everybody says, well, I don't want to bore you. I'm never bored talking hockey. I was never bored as a player. Well, and Pogey Man knows, and you two guys should know, you never get bored talking, so you two know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But you know what? No, you can go away to the cottage, you can go holidaying, and it'll be, but it's bred in you. This is what you love to do.
Amen. And so they'll be here. September will be here before you know it, Crispy.
It will be. We're looking forward to it, and it'll be interesting to see the draft or what changes, moves that David and the team make before then. We'll all be watching closely. And to all of our fans, you guys down there, hey, stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll see you at the rink.
Crispy, always a pleasure. Thank you, my man.